This is the reason I wanted to record the prayer. It's right out of God's Word. And praying the Word is a good thing to do, amen?
Amen.
Because we don't know how to pray a lot of times, but God's Word teaches us how to pray. And so turn to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 13. We're going to pray a prayer out of Hebrews 13 before I start. Hebrews 13, and we're going to go to verse 20 and 21. Hallelujah. This is my prayer today and my prayer always. Amen. If you pray the Word, God, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. You need to speak the Word out loud when you can, because your own hearing, you hear the Word. And it brings faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We want Him to work in us. Amen.
Amen.
And when He does, we are Christ on earth. We represent Him. We are ambassadors to Christ. And we may be the only Jesus that some people know. Amen? When we reach out to others, Yeshua reached out to anybody, everybody and anybody He could when He was on earth. And we're supposed to do the same thing He does. Amen? Hallelujah. The message today is the Passover, a matter of life or death. You know, God is a God of order. Amen? And the Lord showed me something in the Word, which I'm going to share in a little bit. But our Passover lamb, He passed from death to life, did He not?
Amen.
He had to die before He could be raised from the grave. God is a God of order. How important is the Passover? We're about ready to have it, amen? I'm looking forward to it. Looks like there's going to be a good crowd, and there should be, because we're commanded to go to the Passover. Not only are we commanded, but we're also to observe it correctly. So not only are we commanded to go, we're supposed to do it correctly, and that is to rightly discern the body and blood of Yeshua. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We're going to read 25 through 28. 25 through 28. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." Amen. The Passover is all about remembering Yeshua and what He did. He told us that in this very scripture. Let's go on to verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You know, I'm going to stop right there for a second. We proclaim His death. Paul said, "I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And Passover is to celebrate His death first and the resurrection, which I'm going to get into. But God is a God of order. Some things have to come first, and it's not always pretty. Sometimes you have to go through things. Amen? But it's okay. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. Amen. That's why we're in this season of Passover. We are to examine ourselves. That's why we make up a sin list. That's why next week you guys are going to be burning yours, and today Corinth is going to be burning theirs.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good practice. God knows that we fall and we don't stay strong all the time, so He has the Passover and other feasts to keep us in line. Amen? If we didn't examine ourselves at Passover or Atonement, then we might forget and we might slip into sin because a pattern of perverseness can be gotten into real easy. And because it goes against your flesh to honor God, to serve God, to be there on the Sabbath day. And so you don't want to falter. That's why God designed all these things, so we would stay strong. He sustains us in these things. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The outcome of not observing the Passover or of incorrectly observing it is sin. And if sin is not repented of or is left to run its course, as it were, results in death. Even the Hebrew people, had they not followed the Lord's instruction on Passover, would have died if they were a firstborn. Mankind is subject to death, but the second death is the one you want to avoid. You know, we're all subject to death, but praise God, He brings eternal life. Amen. He takes our mortal bodies into immortal. Amen. Mainline Christianity, on the path of paganism today, celebrates Easter instead of Passover. They celebrate with a theme of resurrection when Passover theme is first meant to celebrate His death, as I said.
Amen.
They miss God's order. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to celebrate the resurrection. His resurrection is crucial, though, to our salvation, so I'm not putting that down. If He hadn't risen, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. You should already be in that book. 1 Corinthians 15, and go to verse 17. The resurrection is important. I'm not belittling that in any sense of the form, you know, but there's first things first. You celebrate His death. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. So it's important that Christ rose. That's how He defeated death. Amen. By rising again. Some people think God is dead. You know, yesterday, I know y'all didn't celebrate anything yesterday because that was the atheist holiday. Did you know that? It was April Fool. It's Fool. April Fool's Day. A fool says, a fool in Proverbs says a fool says there's no God. So yesterday was the atheist holiday. I know y'all didn't observe it. Amen. All right. Yes, His resurrection is important. But first things first. He had to die first in order to free us from sin and give us life. Did He not?
Amen.
Turn to Romans 6 and we'll see. Romans 6. Romans 6, we're going to go to verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. This is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, notice the order in that scripture. The wages of sin is death. Death is mentioned first before eternal life, is it not?
Amen.
All right. And we should follow that order. The order is death and then life. Does Scripture bear this out? Let's look at the word in John. Let's go to John. You know, the biblical pattern is that one be broken, dead to self, your own self will before. I can't read my own writing. That's pretty bad, ain't it? I got it scribbled in the margin here. I had something I added to that and I can't read what it says. But anyway, we need to be broken, dead to self. Amen? You know, in the sinner's prayer, we claim to be dead to self. I have two scriptures there, but I don't know where I was going with that, so I'm going to leave it. All right, we'll just go on. Let's turn to the Word. It talks about the Word, in the Word, how death goes before life. Let's go to John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So death is mentioned first there again. Romans 6:13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Again, death is mentioned first, brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. You know, people today are out of order if they expect life and blessings will follow immediately after reading the sinner's prayer. They're not willing to do any service or sacrifice or face any kind of difficulty in following Christ. That's sloppy grace. You know, they believe, well, God freed me from sin, so that means I can sin. He freed me from guilt, so I don't have to be guilty. I can go ahead and sin. I tell you right now, until you get to the standard of hating sin, that when you get to the standard where you hate sin, that's where victory comes in. Amen. When you get to the standard where you hate sin, that's when victory starts. Amen. The trouble is today is people don't hate sin. They kind of like it. The trouble is the pleasures of sin, I read earlier, what are the wages of that? Death. So we don't want wage of death. I don't know about you. I don't like the word death. But God overcame death, and I will overcome death by the cross. Amen. All right. Now I forgot where I was here. Okay. Oh, I'm at the top of the page. Okay. They are not willing to die to self first and be obedient to God's order. People have to bear the cross of Christ. Turn to Luke, please. Luke, chapter 14. Luke 14:24. Yeah, I had a vision. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, old men will dream dreams and young people will see visions. So this time I was young because I saw a vision. And it was of crosses. People were bearing their cross. They were going up a hill, an incline. And they were, some of them were happy carrying it. They were doing fine and doing great. Others were complaining and wouldn't carry it. And they were putting it aside on the road. And when they put it down, when they put their cross in the ground and didn't want to carry it, it made a fence for mothers to get to the path of God. When you're not willing to carry your cross and carry it with a smile, because, you know, anybody read that, heard that song yet? It's called Blessings. What was that girl's name? Anyway, the song is called Blessings. And sometimes your blessings come through tears. Amen? Amen. Sometimes your blessings come through storms. And we're supposed to be joyous when we face trials, you know. And it's not always easy. But if you know the outcome like Jesus did, He saw what... He saw beyond the cross. He saw beyond the whipping. He saw beyond to a hope and a future. And He knew that Father God was going to bring him through. Amen? That's what we need to do, is to know God will get us through no matter what we're in. Amen? God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you hope or imagine. So imagine that. We hope a lot of things. We imagine a lot of things. But God is bigger than that. And I tell you, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has for those that love Him. Amen. His new heaven and new earth is going to be awesome. I look forward to that. My head is looking up because that eastern sky is going to split. And when it does, I'm going to fly, brother. I'm flying. Woo! And I've already flown some. I've got some miles already. What do they call that? Flying miles. God's taken me up already and showed me some things and dreams also. Praise God. He's a God that reveals Himself in dreams, in visions, and by His Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. What did I say? Luke 14:27. Luke 14:27. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You know, people want to experience all the blessings without going through what it takes to be a true disciple of God. Amen. There's a book out. I was looking online. There's a Barna group. Normally I don't pull out stuff from... But this George Barna, he wrote a book called Maximum Faith. It looks like an awesome book because I've got a sheet here that kind of gives some highlights of what's in the book. And as soon as I'm able, I'm going to order this book because it looks really good. People today need to reimagine the goal and methods related to their faith journey. You know, we're on a journey, but this is not our home. Our new home is coming. Amen? We are to be ambassadors to the country that is coming, not the one we're in now. Amen? We have to reimagine the goal. Genuine transformation requires a long-term commitment, a solid partnership with God, the willingness to grow through pain and hardship, and the willingness to live a counterculture life. You know, this world is not going toward Christ. This world is going the wrong way. There are very few, and I'm going to read some of the statistics of people, and most of them are not willing to do what it takes to be a true disciple of Christ. Looking at transformation as the process that enables us to gradually die to sin, die to self, and die to society in order to fully and profoundly love God and to love people. That's what you have to do. You have to die to sin, die to yourself. Not, you know, thy will be done. We read that in the Our Father, did we not? The Lord taught us how to pray. He said, thy will be done on earth as in that prayer. When you prayed that, you were saying that you were dying to yourself. Amen? And then we have to be dead to society, or a society that's full of sin and going the wrong way. So we have to be dead to sin, dead to self, and dead to a sinful society. Amen? Transformation, then, is the effort to become holy by fully submitting to God and consequently pursuing His will, being set apart by the blood of Christ to experience a unique freedom and a new identity through the power of that blood and the enduring guidance of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, it's Spirit and truth. What comes first? Spirit. Okay, you're going to get some truth, but until you get the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to be led into all truth. You know, I've had a lot of truth. Like Paul said, whatever you've heard and seen and learned of me, do. The reason he said that is because he does the things Christ did. And so there are things that we're going to hear. We're going to see truth here. We're going to see truth there. We're going to see truth different. All churches have good things in it. But the trouble is you have to know what is from Christ alone. And that is good for you. And that's what you take in your heart. This is your safety deposit box right here. You have to take every thought captive that comes against Christ. And when you know that there's something good, you put that in your heart. Like Mary said when Jesus was in her, you know, she said, I will hide these things in my heart. It's like you kind of hold on to them, those truths that you feel. You know, you weren't sure about it, but you kind of felt God was in this thing, so you put it here and you remembered it in your heart. You know, the same things in your brain are found in your heart for memory. That blew me away. The things that make you retain memory up here in your brain are also found in your heart. So there are truths that you can put in your heart. Like Mary said, she pondered these things in her heart. In other words, she thought about them, not just here, but down here. And that journey from here to here is a long way, folks. But the battle is in the mind. But I tell you what, God, you are an overcomer if you have the mind of Christ. And that's what we try to be, is try to be like Christ, have His mind, and be full of His Spirit. And that Spirit's what's going to lead you into all truth. And anyone who thinks that being full of the Holy Ghost is kind of crazy, well, you know it is. But God says that God takes the base things of the world and confuses the learned. And I tell you, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And I know that the Holy Ghost is real. When I received it, I didn't have a whole lot of instruction. And I received it, and I was lost in the Spirit for a while. And when I finally came to myself, I wish I had stayed with Christ. But when I come out of speaking in tongues, I knew in my knower that it was a true thing, that this was God, that it was not something foolish. You know, the world would tell you it's foolish. You know, to those that are perishing, the cross is foolishness. But what does the Bible say about us saints? It is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. Just like the Word, the Gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. All right. What did I just do? Oh, yeah. I was reading this, the highlights from the book, Maximum Faith. I'm pushing this book here, I guess. But this book, the Bible, is the one I really want to push. But knowing the purpose of the journey is crucial. You got to know, you know, your journey to Christ is crucial. You're not likely to experience full transformation if you don't know what it is and are not devoted to its pursuit. Most Christians mirror cultural goals like desiring happiness, comfort, security, belonging to a group, popularity. Surprisingly, few are focused on completely cooperating with God or to experience the kind of whole life transformation. Everybody say whole life transformation. This thing that we're involved with at Hungry Hearts is not a religion. It's a whole life transformation. Amen. Described in the Bible and made possible only through a partnership with God. The lack of understanding of the goals of a truly Christian life prevents people from making the extraordinary life transition that is possible through Christ. Hallelujah. You don't realize. If you realized who you were in Christ, man, you would constantly, you would just be, whoo, what a difference. You know, if you knew in your heart that when you look up, Christ will come and believe it in your heart, then I tell you what, nothing can keep you, get you down, because you know you have a God that answers everything He promises in His Word is going to be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. There's just a couple other things I want to kind of look at. Simply attending church activities and classes does not guarantee or enhance one's transformational experience. Wholeness requires more than simply showing up and gorging yourself on religious activities. Whew. A person must be broken of three things, like I said, sin, self, and society. He noted that American culture serves as a strong barrier to people being willing to completely abandon themselves and the world in favor of listening to, obeying, or enjoying God. You know, when we get in this way of life, this whole life transformation, I'm telling you, the joy starts to come. When you really see, you know, the pattern and plan of God in the Torah, when you see the living Word and it's brought into your life by the things you do, and it's not, it's got a pattern. It has an order. And it keeps you in line. Like I said, God made all the feasts to help you stay in line, because God knew that we live a roller coaster life. One day we're down, one day we're up, and one day we feel holy, next day we don't. We need to know who we are in Christ, that we keep that solid flow. Just like our Pastor Bill, you know, he's the man who I see in his life, from what all I see, he has a more steady kilter in his life, then down and up and up and down. He and you know, you have to believe in the man that you're following, the vision that he has. Because like I said, he has the main vision. Now we can have visions within his vision, but you can't have two visions running the show, because where there's two visions, there's division. Okay? And I'm in the vision with Pastor, and I see things through his vision. And that's what makes it work. Amen. We're in this together, and God is a God of order. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about the future, because Christ is our future. He is an ever-present help in trouble. And He loves each one of us so much. And when you know that love and you feel that love, you want to serve Him, you want to do what's right, and you want to stay with Him. Amen. You know, the presence of God is paramount. Like I said, the presence is what counts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A biblical pattern of spiritual development would require brokenness prior to a person becoming born again. But Americans typically don't follow that pattern. And because so, their spiritual progress to where they become more committed to God is not made manifest. More than two-thirds of Americans say they are either religious or spiritual. Two-thirds of Americans say they're Christian, that they're spiritual or religious. But admit to not being deeply committed to faith matters. A lot of people say, I love God. You go to church? No. I love God. But you know what? If you really love God, you're going to find yourself assembling yourselves together with like believers. If you are a NASCAR lover, you're going to find yourself at the racetrack. Amen? You're going to find yourself at least wearing a NASCAR shirt or coat, you know? The thing, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. Where's your money? Where's your time? Where's your priority being spent? Amen. And I'm telling you, it all comes together. It all comes together in Christ when you see this pattern, this lifestyle of the feast days, the holy days. And Passover is where Christ achieved the ultimate for us, that he made it possible for us to have eternal life. And death has to come before life. Amen. God is the God of order, and we are going to have to pass from death to life. And we can do that through him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Christians, just one out of every seven, say that their faith in and relationship with God is the highest priority in their life. Just one out of every seven, that's only 14%, say that their faith is and relationship with God is their highest priority. Driven by social mores, few adults who believe that they are Christian are willing to abandon worldly objectives in favor of seeking godliness. Only one out of five, 22%, say that they live in a way that which makes them completely dependent upon God. And usually, you know, that they return to God in times of crisis or suffering. How many people do you know are like that? You know, they say they love God and everything, but they don't live for God. But the only time they cry out to God is when they're in pain. And God is gracious. He answers prayers despite ourselves. But a lot of times we put ourselves in situations that don't need to be, that we don't need to put ourselves into. Amen? So you're going to avoid a lot of problems if you know Christ and start to see his pattern and start living it. Amen. An individual cannot transform himself, nor can a church transform you. That work can only be done by God through the empowerment and direction of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is where it's at, folks, getting that Holy Ghost power, that ace of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. We saw that song we sang earlier, that he answers in fire. And I'm telling you, God is a consuming fire. He'll burn up the bad stuff, but he'll leave the good there. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He'll purge us.
Hallelujah.
And we are made strong through those trials. Amen. You know, two of the elements we take at Passover are bitter herbs and caroset. The bitter herbs represents the bitterness of sin. You know, sin is bitter. When we sin, God is harmed, God is hurt, God is bitter. So, you know, the bitter herbs represent sin. And all the things he had to go through because of our sin is the bitterness, the bitter herbs. The caroset is made with nuts and apples and is sweet. Caroset represents the sweetness of getting through the bitter and receiving the rewards of God. Amen? But they're there. Hallelujah. We put bitter herbs on a piece of matzah or unleavened bread. On the other side, we put caroset. Then we partake of it from the bitter to the sweet. That's the way it has to be, folks. You know? One must realize the seriousness of sin and die to sin first. We must go through the bitter and eat on until we reach the caroset. That is the order of what we must experience. Many Christians want to eat from the matzah and start on the caroset side and just kind of munch right there. And that's sweet, you know, that's good. If you can, but if you really want to experience God, you're not going anywhere. And never, and you have to keep going. Baptism should follow your statement of faith to signify you're dying to self and being risen anew in a new life as a new creature in Christ. One must die to sin first, then you can have life. Turn to Acts 2:38. This is about baptism, dying to self. Acts 2:38. This is Peter speaking. All us Pentecostals know this by heart. Repent's a good word. That means turning to Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's a promise there. If you die to self and you're new in Christ, you will receive the Holy Ghost. It's there for you to receive it. A lot of people struggle so hard. No, the free gifts, they're there. I believe I'm going to read a scripture that tells you that all spiritual gifts are made available to us. It's just a matter of reaching out and being able to grasp what God has there for you. Amen. If you're willing, God will fill you with it. Hallelujah. All right, Romans 12:1. Go there. Romans 12:1. This is, again, dying to self. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual or reasonable act of worship. This is a description of some of the... it's reasonable. Now that's dying to self. That is taking up your cross, even to the point of death, if necessary. When you offer your bodies, you know, and it's reasonable to do that. And that, so offer my body. What are you talking about? Well, all your members—that's your mind, body, and soul. All three things that make up who you are. You have to give them all to Christ. Yeah, in order to really experience the life that He has for you. A lot of people are not willing to give up their mind, their soul, and their bodies. Amen. They want to give it over to some kind of evil. Turn to Matthew 10, please. Matthew 10. And we're going to go to verse 39. I want maximum faith, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. That's why it takes a maximum faith to understand, get to the place where you understand these truths. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So again, lose it. Death is first in there, isn't it? Then whoever loses life for me will find it. That's life, isn't it? So death must come before life. God's order is found in the Torah, the law of God. All the covenants of God are two-way. They're sealed in blood. Exodus 24:7. Turn to the Torah, Exodus 24, verse 7. Exodus 24, verse 7. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." You know, we say a lot of things. Peter said, "I'll never leave you. I'll be with you." But what did Christ do? Christ rebuked him because he knew Peter was going to fall away. You know, we get pretty mouthy. We think we can do, but see, through Christ, we will get through. We can't. We have to realize that we are frail and we make mistakes. But God's going to help us. Amen. That obedience requires making Yeshua Lord. To call him Lord or make the statement in the sinner's prayer that you are making him Lord of your life means he is supreme and sovereign and that he is your king. We sang those songs before preaching that, you know, he's the king and that he reigns and all that. Okay, that's a serious thing, you know. To have a king means you are subject to him, because kings have subjects. They don't have voters. It's not a democracy. Amen. He's king of kings, you know. You submit to the king to the point of death if necessary. You seal your part of the covenant with your king in blood. You know, people will die for their king. Amen. Men of the round table, you know, they wanted to die for their king, and that's what we should be willing to do. When that's to be done spiritually. Amen. You know, there's kind of like that military statement. Yours is not to question why. Yours is but to do or die. You know that God will raise you up if you die for him. Don't worry. You know, you can't kill a Christian, really, because we have eternal life through Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. We're to endure hardship. And that takes continual looking to Christ for the strength. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. When you know, like I said, when you recited the Our Father's prayer, you said, "Thy will be done on earth, and deliver me from evil." You know, we need a deliverer. We cannot deliver ourselves. We need God to help us. None of us are super spiritual people, or you know, spiritual supermen. We are only vessels that God can work through us. It's His strength. It's what He's doing through us. It's nothing that comes from right here. It comes from up there, amen? And it's in you. He's our comforter. Hallelujah. All right. Yes, you will have, you know, that will be done, we said also. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus suffered on earth, did he not? Yes, you will have obstacles and demons to overcome when you decide to do things Yeshua's way. Yes, you have to fight. No, it will not be easy. But it will be okay. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. And we're going to go to verse 28. And we know. Do we know this? That in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Right there. Now go to James 1. James 1, verse 12. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, in other words, it says right here, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You know, that's why we can get through trial, because we know who our God is. Amen. Turn to John 16:33. I'm going to get more into the Passover. It's just, you know, it's all about our Passover lamb, amen? You know, the cross of Christ and having to die, what he had to do is what we have to do. And say, oh, I don't want to go through all that. Well, you can. It's going to be okay. Romans 8 just told us. John 16:33. I have told you these things. I got better to get there. I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Some translations say tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We are part of an overcoming God. That makes us overcomers when we have Him in us. Hallelujah. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we all have a word that saved us, and that is Yeshua. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Yeshua. Hallelujah. The Torah is called HaTorah. The Lord is the living Word. And all of this Word, the whole Bible, is His Word. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. To be only a New Testament church means you're cutting off half of Christ. I don't know about you, but that can't be done.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Peace is not the absence of chaos. It's knowing who you are in Christ. Peace is not the absence of peace, or not the absence of chaos. It's knowing who you are in Christ. There are trials and troubles ahead to keep the covenants, but Yeshua gets us through them all. Psalm 34:19. I love this psalm. Psalm 34:19. Hallelujah. A righteous man may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from some of them sometimes. Huh? Ain't that what it said? No. Oh, okay. But the Lord delivers him from about six of them. No? I'm misquoting the word here. I better read it right. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Our God is an all-in-all God. All you need and all you're going to ever need. So that's all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yahweh, Father God, got Yeshua through all of His trials. God always keeps His part of any covenant. He enables us to keep our part by giving us the infilling of His Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:2 tells us where to fix our eyes. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God is the author of our faith, and He's the finisher of our faith. You know, some translations for the word perfecter in this scripture use the word finisher. I like to use both of them. I put both of them in the scripture, and I thought it was awesome. I'm going to read it. Yeshua HaMashiach is the author and finishing perfecter of our faith.
Yes. Woo!
Hallelujah. The finishing perfecter of our faith. One version said He's the finisher, others say He's the perfecter. Well, He's the finishing perfecter of our faith. He started it, and He's going to get us through. He's going to finish what He starts. God always finishes what He starts. I don't finish everything I start. I got news for you. A lot of us don't. We try, but there's times we fail, but Christ will get us through in our faith. So our faith, we don't need to falter in our faith, because our confidence is in Christ. It's not in what we can do. It's what we can do through Him who is in us and who is ever present. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeshua never leaves us or forsakes us. He is right there in the smelter with us, like He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, slain for us for the remission of sins. Without His sacrifice, we would die in our sins. With this in mind, let's go to the book of John again. Go to the book of John. John 6:53. This is Christ speaking at time of Passover. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, That means, listen. When God repeats stuff twice, it's important. When he says it three times, he really means business. I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Discerning the body and blood of Yeshua at Passover is a matter of life or death. Amen. If you do not have life, then what are you?
Dead.
You're a dead man walking. As our founding elder Bill Schultz said, God ain't playing. He says, God ain't playing. And someone else pointed out, by the way, that the word ain't is in the Bible, in the dictionary now. The word ain't is now in the dictionary, thanks to us Southerners. God ain't playing. It is a matter of life and death, discerning his body and blood, knowing who he is, knowing what he went through to bring you all the promises to fulfill the plan and the purpose that he came to earth. I cannot overemphasize the Passover purpose because Yeshua made a way for the possibility of eternal life for all mankind. It makes a way where there was no way. It begins the plan of God for each of us. If we cannot see the purpose of the Passover plan, how are we ever going to go on to perfection? Passover preparedness is very important. You know, every year during this season, we have a sin list. Hopefully, they're smaller every year, you know. Hopefully, our sin list is a little smaller because, like I said, when you get to the standard of hating sin, that's when victory really starts to make itself manifest in your life. And so if you hate sin, you're going to have a little less of it in your life. We do sin, but we're not practicing sinners because we know that the things that Christ went through to make us free, to give us this life, to give us eternal life. Amen. Every time I look up, I forget where I'm at. All right. We need the renewing of and refreshing every year in the past. Like I said, God knew this, and that's why he has this every year, and why, you know, we have all the other feasts. God knows we need them all. And God put them in perfect order, even moving the heavens to show us when they are to occur, to tell us when the feasts are. He even moves the heavens. We celebrate all the ones God commands us. They open the plan of God and give us purpose. There are seven listed in Leviticus chapter 23. The feasts are listed in Leviticus 23. We all know that. We're not going to turn there right now. Leviticus 23:1. The Lord said, "These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feast of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." You know, each feast reaffirms our commitment, and it sustains us in our walk. It tells God we love him. It tells God we are one of his, and he knows we are one of his if we're there. Hallelujah. It tells the world who we are. We need to always remember each feast, and we need the strength they give us so we can press on to the prize before us. If you just came into this fold, we have some new people down in Corinth. I'm excited about that. This is the first feast, so they're get to start at the very beginning. To come in at time of Passover, I think, is a neat time because it's the first feast. You know, when Gene and I came in, our first feast, I believe, was trumpets. And so we kind of came in toward the end of the year. But I think it's neat when you start out with Passover. Each feast builds on the next. They are built on the foundation of Christ. All through unleavened bread. For 7 days we take in unleavened bread. That represents taking in the bread of life, Yeshua. You know, because leaven represents sin. We need the strength of his daily bread. You know, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. We need the word every day. People, like I say, get your face in the book. Don't get in Facebook. Get your face in this book, the Bible. Amen. We clean our house of the filth and death of sin, and we replace it with the holiness and life of Yeshua. Do you not want eternal life? If the answer is yes, then we must do as he commands. Yeshua said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The Passover includes foot washing, partaking of the bread, and the partaking of the wine. There's more, but these are the three main elements. If we do as Yeshua says, we will be more like him. God says this, look, if you will give me your life, I will give you this in return. I will give you the forgiveness of sin. I will give you my Holy Spirit. I will give you access to me. You know, when that veil was torn, God made access, the very throne room of God. But you have to give me your life, Jesus said, in obedience, in order that I might work with you and that I might create myself in you. Christ is creating himself in us. That you might have my mind, that you might have my heart, my character. I know we got some characters, but we want Yeshua's character, amen? My very nature. We want the nature of Christ and his attitudes, amen? Some say, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. Some of them say attitudes. Go to 1 John 2, please. 1 John 2. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. First John, chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That tells you pretty much. What was Christ's custom? He kept the feast days. He kept the Sabbath. Hallelujah. He did all these things. Amen. How much time I got? All right. God's love is truly made complete in us. Exodus 23:17. Go back to Torah. Exodus 23:17. This is the commandment of God right here about the feasts. Exodus 23, verse 17. Three times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. You know, Passover is one of those three feasts where God tells every man to appear. We must bring an offering on the first day of unleavened bread. Why do I say that? It's because it's in the Torah. Go to Deuteronomy 16, 16. Deuteronomy 16, 16. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God, at the place he will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is along with Passover, right after Passover. The Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. So the last part of that verse tells us, Deuteronomy 16, 16 says, we should bring an offering. Amen? On the first day of unleavened bread. Everything we've received is from the Lord, so we should be happy to give. Remember these two verses of Scripture. I'm just going to read them. You don't have to turn there now, but if you want to make a note. Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So the Lord owns everything, even us. You know, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. And that price came at a heavy cost to Yeshua when he died on the cross. Amen. Then there's Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers, as it is today. You know, these words are, as it is today, it means as it is today. When you read it, anytime there's life, it means it's still going on. It's a going on thing. So God gives us the ability to produce wealth, and everything is His. We keep an open hands, everything's going to flow through. It's when you get to the point where I'm holding on to this one, I don't want this to go, you're going to start a tug of war because you're holding on. Pretty soon it'll tear you apart. So you got to keep your hands open, let God's blessings flow, all the prosperity, all the things of God. Keep your hands open so you can give it to someone else. Don't be hanging on to everything, you know. In this day and age, things are pretty tough, you know, financially in this country, and we're all struggling. But you know what? God provides all our needs according to His riches. And His riches are not always the riches that we think in our minds. His riches are greater than our riches. But if you keep an open hand, God has a policy of open-handedness. And He freely receive, freely give. Everything is God's. You know, don't hoard things because that's what the devil does. Amen. Everything we've received is from God. Be happy for God's provision and give Him according to your increase. We are supplied with all we need. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches. All spiritual gifts are given to us. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Therefore, let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:7. This is too good to not turn to. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Wow, I didn't know I had all the spiritual gifts available to me. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Hallelujah. Right there it shows you that all the gifts that I said are available to us. If you give your all, God withholds nothing back from you, and you have the power of Christ to be an overcomer by the blood of Yeshua Messiah and by the word of your testimony. You will have nothing lacking, nothing missing. If you walk in the way, capital T, capital W, have a God-fearer according to the Torah. You need to be a God-fearing person. Do you want the power of God in your life? The power of God is in the cross and in the Word. And Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And we already know that the cross, I'm going to read Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Like I said, God's a God of order. It mentions the Jew first, doesn't it? Without Judah, you would not have any Christianity.
Amen.
We need to look at the way things are put in the Word and realize that's the order of things. Spirit and truth, isn't that in the Bible? From death to life. Isn't that in the Bible?
Amen.
First things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God will put you in order if you're not in order.
Amen.
And a lot of times I'm out of order. And I've been out of order recently, but God keeps putting me back in, you know, the right way. And then 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, which I mentioned earlier. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You, like Yeshua, must carry your cross to defeat sin in your life. You must know and use the Word to defeat the enemy of your soul while you carry your cross. Yeshua will help you carry your cross. Matthew 11, verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You also have the body of believers to help you carry your cross and to supply whatever spiritual gift you need. God said in the scripture I read earlier in 1 Corinthians 1:7, that you do not lack any spiritual gift. But you yourself do not possess every spiritual gift, do you? Lord, show me this. They are supplied through the body working together as we assemble ourselves together. You know, it's all the prayer in here. The things we lack, the others are help to supply. And the people that can't go to the Passover, we already have a fund that we know to give when we have second tithe. We know to help others to come. And this is what it's all about, amen? We help each other. I love how all of us hungry hearts are becoming closer to one another. I'm finding this so true. I'm so close to all the hungry hearts, closer than my natural family, because a lot of them are living contrary to what they're living in that sinful society as part of what we have to overcome. And I love them, and I keep trying to give them truth, but until that time comes that things are in order in their life and that seed is watered. You know, we can plant seed, but God's the one that causes increase. Amen. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. It's right before Timothy, by the way. That helps, if that helps you. 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go to chapter 1 and verse 3. You know, I thank God for all the hungry hearts. And it says right here, we ought always to thank God for our brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. God knew that as we draw close to Him, we're okay, got a brother over here, and you got a brother over here. As you draw closer to God, you automatically draw closer to one another, because He is at the top. He is at the pinnacle. He is at He's at the top, okay? And when we get there, Acme. You never seen Acme Cleaning or Acme. That's the top. That's the pinnacle. And God is the Acme of our life. Amen. That's the word I was looking for. I didn't know what Acme meant until I looked it up. Philippians 4:3 talks about being a yoke fellow. You know, we're together in this. We're in that yoke together, amen? God's yoke is easy and His burden is light. Philippians 4:3. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You know, we have other people that can help us in that yoke, that in Christ. And Christ helps us through other people. Amen? That's why His yoke is easy. But if we're not willing to have other people help us, then uh-oh. You know? We need one another. You know, I wasn't going to get into this, but I feel it needs to be, I need to say something about this because it's all part of the Passover. I noticed it in 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 17, to talking about, before it talked about, it said the Last Supper, just before verse 17 in 1 Corinthians 11. It talked about quarrels among us and about not getting along with our fellow man. Just before it talks about Passover, and I thought, wow, why is that? You know, and then the Lord showed me that we need one another. There are a lot of great one another verses. I want you to write all these down. You're going to have to get the tape because I'm not going to take the time to go through each one because I'm down to about 6 minutes. But I'm just going to read them off. They're so awesome. We know we need to know all the one another verses. 10 minutes? Great. John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Or it says, some of them say, willing to do menial work. Do not be conceited. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. You know, we battle not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not another brother in the Lord. You know, because Peter was with Jesus, wasn't he? Jesus loved Peter, but Jesus also rebuked Peter. He wasn't putting him down personally. He was talking to Satan that, you know, it's all about hating the sin and loving the sinner. And that's a lot of people who don't understand that, don't really, are not close to God, because you can do that. We can come against sin, but we can't judge each other. You know, a lot of times we just go by what we see and we don't really think of things in the way Christ thinks. Okay, I gave you Romans 14:13. Now we have Romans 15:7. Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Romans 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. We need to instruct one another in the word, amen? Help one another. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever agreement you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:16. You didn't know there were so many one another verses, did you? These are awesome. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So we're to encourage one another. I circled these words. We're to love one another, be devoted to one another, serve one another, live in harmony, not judge. We are to accept one another, instruct one another, be patient, long-suffering, be kind, compassionate, forgiving, and submit to one another. Bear with one another, forgive one another. Man, there's a lot of these. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. You know, and right now the devil will keep us from this, try to keep us from going to Passover. He'll either try to get us sick, or he'll get us distracted, or he's going to get us deception. There's either deception, sickness, or distraction. All these things are going to try to keep us from this feast and every feast, because God knows that's the answer to a life that leads to Yeshua. Amen? And we need to pray that everyone will be able to come to Passover. We need to pray for one another. That's in there too, in the one another verses. Then the Bible say to make our to confess what to one another our sins. Not so that other person can go and gossip, but so that you can what? Pray. And so that you can be healed. We need to pray for one another. When a brother confides in you, you need to just pray. All too often I've opened my mouth when I shouldn't have. Hebrews 3:13, here's another one. Encourage one another daily. I use this one because it said daily. You're not just encouraging them every, I encourage my brother, I think, every fourth Sabbath. No, it says daily. As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on. You know, when we were in football or in any sport in high school, there were cheerleaders and then there, didn't we spur one another on? You know? Defense. We were yelling, screaming, all that. We used to do that in our walk. Say, man, you are a godly man. I appreciate all that you do, and you make me stronger by watching your life. You know, we don't associate it that way, but we should. We should make it really spur one another on because we need that. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together, especially as you see the day approaching, it says. And I believe the day is approaching awfully quick. I see all these things coming about in the body of believers. Amen. We pass from death to life in keeping the Passover. The Hebrew people experienced life instead of death at Passover because they were obedient to God and did as He said, and death passed over. I will conclude with this. 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. Go ahead and turn there, because it's too good not to turn to. Turn to the Word. Hallelujah. Yeshua is the Word. And turning to the Word means repent. 1 John 3:14. You know, a lot of people are not sure about their salvation. But if you read this scripture, you'll see. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. You know, Passover is how Yeshua showed that He loved us. And we show Yeshua we love Him by keeping the Passover. Amen. Lord, I thank You for this message. I thank You that You bring us through all things. You get us out of all trouble. You're right there for us at the very mention of Your name. I thank You that we are encouraged and we are spurred on to the good things in You, because You have nothing but good things for us. And we give You praise. We thank You for each feast that keeps us in line with what You would have for us. And we give You the glory in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Amen.